The following program is rated U for universal audiences and is considered suitable for listeners of all ages.
Dream Realm Enterprises presents Showcase Classics, an anthology of classic stories and radio theater revivals for your listening pleasure. And now for our featured presentation of Jane Eyre.
Thank you, Robert. Would you let Bessie know I arrived safely?
Aye. Take care, Miss Jane. Make Bessie proud of you.
I'll try. Goodbye.
Is there a little girl called Jane Eyre here?
Yes.
The child is very young to be sent alone.
She had better be put to bed soon. She looks tired. Are you tired?
A little, Mum.
And hungry too, no doubt. Let her have some supper before she goes to bed, Miss Miller. Is this the first time you've left your parents to come to school, my little girl?
Both of my parents died, Mum.
I am very sorry to hear it. How long have you been an orphan?
For as long as I can remember.
How old are you?
10 years old.
And what is your favourite subject, Miss Eyre? Do you enjoy reading? Can you write and sew?
I read and write. I'm very fond of history. And art.
Art? Then you and I should get on well, my girl. This way, child. Some supper and then bed.
I wonder what's for breakfast today.
I do hope we get to eat something nice today.
I hope we have some decent food today. Yesterday's was disgusting.
Lord, we give you thanks for the sustenance we are about to receive. May this nourishment provide these girls with full stomachs so they may continue their education in your ways. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You may eat.
Oh, not again. I hate it when they do this.
It seems like we've had this every other day now.
My spoon's stuck in my porridge. I can't get it out. It's so stodgy.
Porridge. Why is it always porridge? I wish we had something different to eat. I bet they don't expect the adults to eat this porridge. It's disgusting. Why do we have to eat something that's disgusting? I don't think I can eat it.
That's enough chatter, Miss Wilson. At least we all have food to eat. Did you sleep well, dear?
Yes, miss. And now I'm famished.
I shouldn't wonder you barely touched your supper. Abominable stuff. How shameful. First monitor, give everyone a paintbrush.
Pardon my interruption, Miss Miller, but I have a word to address to the pupils. You had this morning a breakfast which you could not eat, and you must be hungry. I have ordered that a lunch of bread and cheese shall be served to all.
Bread and cheese? Thank you, Miss Temple.
Thank you so much. Did Mr.
Brocklehurst approve of it, miss?
It is to be done on my responsibility.
Girls, you may go single file to retrieve your bread and cheese lunch.
And then you may eat in the garden.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
A wonderful day.
I cleaned the spot under the tree. That was mine.
Is your book interesting?
I like it.
What's it about?
You may look at it.
Why do they call this an institution? Is it in any way different from other schools?
It is partly a charity school. You and I and all the rest of us are charity children. I suppose you are an orphan. Are not either your father or your mother dead?
Both died. Before I can remember.
Well, all the girls here have lost either one or both parents, and this is called an institution for educating orphans.
Who is Mr. Brocklehurst?
He overlooks and directs everything here.
Then this house does not belong to that tall lady who wears a watch? You said we were to have some bread and cheese?
To Miss Temple? Oh no. I wish it did. She has to answer to Mr. Brocklehurst for all she does. Mr. Brocklehurst buys all our food and all our clothes.
Is he a good man?
He is a clergyman and is said to do a great deal of good.
Do you like Mr. Scatcherd? And tell me more of Miss Temple.
You must take care not to offend him. Miss Temple is very good and very clever. She is above the rest because she knows far more than they do.
What are other teachers called?
The one who wears a shawl and has a pocket handkerchief tied to her side with a yellow ribbon is Madame Pierrot. She comes from Lille in France and teaches French.
And Madame, I can't say your name as you do.
Madame Pierrot is not a bad sort of person.
Have you been here long?
2 years.
Are you an orphan?
My mother is dead.
Are you happy?
You ask rather too many questions. I have given you answers enough for the present. Now I want to read.
Are you the new girl? The one they call Air?
Yes.
Come join us in a game?
Well, I was... Yes. All right.
Wilson? You poke your chin out most unpleasantly. Draw it in. I insist on you holding your head up. I will not have you before me in that attitude. Burns, you dirty, disagreeable girl. You have never cleaned your nails this morning. Fetch the rod.
Yes, sir.
No need, Miss Burns. Girls, may I present our benefactor? Mr. Brocklehurst.
Before I address them, Miss Temple, I should like you to clear up a matter for me which I found most surprising. I find, in settling accounts with the housekeeper, that a lunch consisting of bread and cheese has twice been served out to the girls during the past fortnight. How is this? I looked over the regulations, and I find no such meal as lunch mentioned. Who introduced this innovation, and by what authority?
I must be responsible for the circumstances, sir. The breakfast was so ill-prepared that the pupils could not possibly eat it, and I dared not allow them to remain fasting until dinner time.
Madame, allow me an instant. You are aware that my plan in bringing up these girls is not to accustom them to habits of luxury and indulgence, but to render them hardy, patient, self-denying. Should any little accidental disappointment of the appetite occur, such as the spoiling of a meal, the under- or the over-dressing of a dish, the incident ought not to be neutralized by replacing with something more delicate the comfort lost, thus pampering the body and obviating the aims of this institution. It ought to be improved to the spiritual edification of the pupils, by encouraging them to evince fortitude under temporary privation. A brief address on those occasions would not be mistimed, wherein a judicious instructor would take the opportunity of referring to the sufferings of the primitive Christians, to the torment of the martyrs, to the exhortations of our blessed Lord himself, calling upon his disciples to take up their cross and follow him, to his warnings that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, to his divine consolation, if ye suffer hungry or thirst for my sake, happy are ye. Oh, madame, when you put bread and cheese instead of burnt porridge into these children's mouths, you may indeed feed their vile bodies, but you little think how you starve their immortal souls.
Your directions shall be attended to, sir.
A careless girl! The culprit will come forward. Now!
Don't be afraid. Jane, I swore it was an accident. You shall not be punished.
Of course, it is the new pupil. I must not forget I have a word to say respecting her. Fetch the stool, Scatcherd. Place the child upon it. Teachers and pupils, this is a melancholy occasion, for it becomes my duty to warn you that this girl, Jane Eyre, who might be one of God's own lambs, is a little castaway. Not a member of the true flock, but evidently an interloper. You must be on your guard against her. You must shun her example. If necessary, avoid her company. Exclude her from your sports, and shut her out from your converse. Teachers, you must watch her. Keep your eyes on her movements. Weigh well her words. Scrutinize her actions. Punish her body to save her soul, if indeed such salvation be possible. For, my tongue falters while I tell it, this girl, this child, the native of a Christian land, worse than many a little heathen who says its prayers to Brahma and kneels before Juggernaut, this girl is a liar. This I learned from her benefactress, from the pious and charitable lady who adopted her in her orphan state, reared her as her own daughter, and whose kindness, whose generosity the unhappy girl repaid by an ingratitude so bad, so dreadful, that at last her excellent patroness was obliged to separate her from her own young ones, fearful lest her vicious example should contaminate their purity. She has sent her here to be healed. Teachers, superintendent, I beg of you not to allow the waters to stagnate round her. Let her stand on that stool until bed, and let no one speak to her during the remainder of the day. This girl, this child, is a liar.
A heathen. She's a bad enemy.
Jane, the sniveling rat.
She's like a mad cat.
She is not worthy of notice.
Jane is a liar? How despicable.
How frightful.
We shouldn't talk to her anymore. I always knew there was something wrong with her.
Agreed. Just look at the way she stands. She knows it's true.
We need to leave her to her wicked ways. We shall not even gaze upon Jane.
I don't want to be her friend. Not at all.
Jane? Yes, Bones?
Miss Temple sent me to tell you that you can remove yourself from the stool now. It's near bedtime.
What is your name?
Helen.
Helen, why do you stay with a girl whom everyone believes to be a liar?
Everybody, Jane? Why, there are only 80 people who have heard you called so, and the world contains hundreds of millions.
But what do I have to do with millions? The 80, I know, despise me.
Jane, you are mistaken. Probably not one in the school either despises or dislikes you. Many, I am sure, pity you much.
How can they pity me after what Mr. Brocklehurst said?
Mr. Brocklehurst is not a god, nor is he even a great and admired man. He is little liked here. He never took steps to make himself liked. Teachers and pupils may look coldly on you for a day or two, but friendly feelings are concealed in their hearts.
Besides, if all the world hated you and believed you wicked, while your own conscience approved you and absolved you from guilt, you would not be without friends.
No, I know I should think well of myself. But that is not enough. If others don't love me, I would rather die than live. I cannot bear to be solitary and hated, Helen. Look here. To gain some real affection from you, or Miss Temple, or any other whom I truly love, I would willingly submit to have the bone in my arm broken, or to let a bull toss me, or to stand behind a kicking horse and let
You think too much of the love of human beings. The sovereign hand that created your frame and put life into it has provided you with other resources than your feeble self, all than creatures feeble as you. Besides this earth, and besides the race of men, there is an invisible world and a kingdom of spirits. That world is round us, for it is everywhere. And those spirits watch us, for they are commissioned to guard us. And if we are dying in pain and shame, if scorn smote us on all sides and hatred crushed us, angels see our tortures, recognize our innocence, if innocent we be, as I know you are of this charge which Mr. Brocklehurst has weakly and pompously repeated at second hand from Mrs. Reed, for I read a sincere nature in your ardent eyes and on your clear front. And God waits only the separation of spirit from flesh to crown us with a full reward. Why, then, should we ever sink overwhelmed with distress when life is so soon over? And death is so certain an entrance to happiness, to glory.
I came on purpose to find you, Jane Eyre. I want you in my room, and as Helen Burns is with you, she may come too. Is it all over? Have you cried your grief away?
I'm afraid I shall never do that.
Why?
Because I have been wrongly accused. And you, Mum, and everybody else, will now think me wicked.
We shall think you what you prove yourself to be, my child. Continue to act as a good girl, and you will satisfy us.
Shall I, Miss Temple?
You will. And now, tell me, who is the lady whom Mr. Brocklehurst called your benefactress?
Mrs. Reed, my uncle's wife. My uncle is dead, and he left me to her care.
Did she not, then, adopt you of her own accord?
No, Mum. She was sorry to have to do it, but my uncle, as I have heard from the servants, got her to promise before he died that she would always keep me.
Well now, Jane, you know, or at least I will tell you, that when a criminal is accused, he is always allowed to speak in his own defence. You have been charged with falsehood. Defend yourself to me as well as you can. Say whatever your memory suggests is true, but add nothing and exaggerate nothing. I know something of Mr. Lloyd. I shall write to him. If his reply agrees with your statement, you shall be publicly cleared from every imputation. To me, Jane, you are clear now. How are you tonight, Helen? Have you coughed much today?
Not quite so much, I think, ma'am.
And the pain in your chest?
It is a little better.
But you two are my visitors tonight. I must treat you as such.
Yes, madam. What can I do for you?
Barbara, I have not yet had tea. Bring the tray and place cups for these two young ladies.
Right away, madam.
As my guests, I insist you both make yourselves comfortable. And then the three of us shall have some delicious tea and bread. Barbara, can you not bring a little more bread and butter? There is not enough for three.
Madam, Mr. Scatcherd gave me the usual quantity.
Oh, very well. We must make it do, Barbara, I suppose. Fortunately, I have it in my power to supply deficiencies for this once. I meant to give each of you some of this to take with you, but as there's so little toast, you shall have it now.
Thank you, Miss Temple.
It warms my heart to see the two of you becoming such good friends.
I told you, Jane. Few, if any, here would dislike you.
Jane, Miss Temple has instructed all of us to remain inside, and those of us still with relatives are to make the journey back home.
Go back home?
To Gateshead?
No, Marianne. My Aunt Reed would never permit it.
Even when so many...
Yes, are you going away?
My uncle is to come collect me this evening.
At least I won't be alone. I'll have Miss Temple and Helen.
Helen? But she's...
Has been distant with you, too. I've seen little of her these past few months.
Jane, I heard Dr. Bates say...
Dr. Bates is with her?
Yes. She's resting. In Miss Temple's room.
Poor lamb.
How is Helen Burns?
Very poorly.
What did Dr. Bates say about her?
He says she'll not be here long.
May I go in to see her?
Oh no, child. You'll catch the fever. It's best if you went to your room.
Can it be you, Jane?
Yes.
Why are you come here, Jane? It is past 11 o'clock. I heard it strike some minutes since.
I came to see you, Helen. I heard you were very ill, and I could not sleep till I had spoken to you.
You came to bid me goodbye, then? You are just in time, probably.
Are you going somewhere, Helen? Are you going home?
Yes. To my long home. My last home.
Helen, no! No.
Jane, your little feet are bare. Lie down and cover yourself with my quilt. I am very happy, Jane. And when you hear that I am dead, you must be sure not to grieve. There is nothing to grieve about. We all must die one day. And the illness which is removing me is not painful. It is gentle and gradual. My mind is at rest. I leave no one to regret me much. I have only a father, and he is lately married and will not miss me. By dying young, I shall escape great sufferings. I had not qualities or talents to make my way very well in the world. I should have been continually at fault.
But where are you going to, Helen? Can you see? Do you know?
I believe... I have faith. I'm going to God.
Where is God? What is God?
My Maker and yours, who will never destroy what he created. I rely implicitly on his power and confide wholly in his goodness. I count the hours till that eventful one arrives which shall restore me to him, reveal me to him.
You are sure then, Helen, that there is such a place as heaven? That our souls can get to it when we die?
I'm sure there is a future state. I believe God is good. I can resign my immortal part to him without any misgiving. God is my father. God is my friend. I love him. I believe he loves me.
And shall I see you again, Helen, when I die?
You will come to the same region of happiness, be received by the same mighty universal parent, no doubt, dear Jane. How comfortable I am. That last fit of coughing has tired me a little. I feel as if I could sleep. But don't leave me, Jane. I like to have you near me.
I'll stay with you, dear Helen. No one shall take me away.
Are you warm?
Yes.
Good night, Jane.
Good night, Helen.
It means to be. Je suis. Tu es.
Très bien, merci.
Miss Eyre, may I go into the garden now?
You may. But continue to practice your verbs with the other girls.
I will. Thank you, Miss Eyre.
Well, Miss Jane, are you certain you must leave us? You've succeeded with Marcy in ways the others have not.
I'm sure, Miss Temple. I believe 8 years at Lowood, 2 of those as a teacher, is quite enough for me. But I never shall forget your kindness to me. Especially when you wrote to Mr. Lloyd, had him verify my version of the story.
The children will miss you, but they will understand. This came for you by post.
Thank you.
Oh, and there's someone waiting to see you. I'll send her in.
Someone for me. J.E., who advertised in the Shire Herald of last Thursday.
Possesses the acquirements mentioned, and if she is in a position to give satisfactory references as to character and competency, a situation can be offered her where there is but one pupil, a little girl under 10 years of age, and where the salary is £30 per annum. J.E. is requested to send references, name, address, and all particulars to the direction Mrs. Fairfax, Thornfield, near Millcote.
Thornfield will probably be a good way from here.
Well, who is it? I dare say, you've quite forgotten me, Miss Jane.
Bessie?
That's my little boy.
Then you are married?
Yes, nearly 5 years since, to Robert Levin, the coachman. And I've a little girl besides Bobby there, that I've christened Jane.
And you don't live at Gateshead?
I live at the lodge. The old porter has left.
Well, and how do they all get on? Tell me everything about them, Bessie.
You're not grown so very tall, Miss Jane, nor so very stout. I dare say they've not kept you too well at school. Miss Reed is head and shoulders taller than you are, and Miss Georgiana would make 2 of you in breadth.
Georgiana is handsome, I suppose, Bessie?
Very. She went up to London last year with her mama, and there everybody admired her, and a young lord fell in love with her. But his relations were against the match, and what do you think? He and Miss Georgiana made it up to run away. They were found out and stopped. It was Miss Reed that found them out. I believe she was envious. And now she and her sister lead a cat and dog life together. They are always quarrelling.
And what of John Reed?
Oh, he is not doing so well as his mama could wish. He went to college and he got plucked, I think they call it. And then his uncles wanted him to be a barrister and study the law. But he is such a dissipated young man. They will never make much of him, I think.
And Mrs. Reed?
Mrs. looks stout and well enough in the face, but I think she's not quite easy in her mind. Mr. John's conduct does not please her. He spends a deal of money.
Did she send you here, Bessie?
No, indeed. But I have long wanted to see you. I thought I'd just set off and get a look at you. And now I'm thankful I did, before you were quite out of my reach.
Out of your reach?
That woman who showed me in mentioned you were planning to leave the school. My Jane, a governess.
A Mrs. Fairfax answered my advertisement.
I dare say you are clever enough. What can you do?
I play piano a little.
And can you draw?
That is one of my paintings over at the chimney piece.
Well, that is beautiful, Miss Jane. It is as fine a picture as any Miss Reed's drawing master could paint, let alone the young ladies themselves who would not come near it. And have you learnt French?
Yes, Bessie. I can both read it and speak it.
Oh, you are quite a lady, Miss Jane. I knew you would be. You will get on, whether your relations notice you or not. There was something I wanted to ask you. Have you ever heard anything from your father's kinfolk, the heirs?
Never in my life.
Well, you know, Mrs. always said they were poor and quite despicable. And they may be poor, but I believe they are as much gentry as the Reeds are. For one day, nearly 7 years ago, a Mr. Eyre came to Gateshead and wanted to see you. Mrs. said you were at school 50 miles off. He seemed so much disappointed, for he could not stay. He was going on a long voyage to a foreign country, and the ship was to sail from London in a day or two. He looked quite a gentleman, and I believe he was your father's brother.
So he went?
Yes. He did not stay many minutes in the house. Mrs. was very high with him. She called him afterwards a sneaking tradesman. My Robert believes he was a wine merchant. Well, I must take my leave of you. Take care, Jane Eyre.
Oh, I wish you well, Bessie. Thornfield.
You've been listening to part two of Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte and adapted as an audio play by Rachel Pulliam. Our cast in order of appearance include Bruce Busby as announcer, Alexa Chipman as Miss Temple, Colette Feehan as Young Jane and Jane Eyre, Pete Lutz as Robert Levin, Rhiannon McCaffey as Miss Miller, Melissa Fry as Mary Jane, Delaney Brittingham as Helen Burns, Carl Werner as Mr. Scatcherd, Glenn Haskell as Mr. Brocklehurst, Gabe Harris as John Reed, Rory L. as Georgiana Reed, Lisa Michaud as Barbara, Frank Guglielmelli as Dr. Bates, Becca Marcus as the nurse, Abby Brown as Marcy, Elise Crowich as Mrs. Fairfax, and Lexi DeSoller as Bessie. Additional schoolgirl voices were provided by Doobie, Alexandra Macedo, Melissa Fry, Rory L., and Emily Smith. Jane Eyre was directed and produced for Dream Realm Enterprises Showcase Classics by Rachel Pulliam. All sound effects were provided by freesound.org, with original music composed by Ross Bernhardt. The Showcase Classics theme was composed by Tom Rory Parsons. This is Bruce Busby, and I hope you'll join us next time for Part 3 of Jane Eyre.
Coming soon to Showcase Classics.
How do you like Thornfield?
I like it very much.
Yes, it is a pretty place, but I fear it will be getting out of order, unless Mr. Rochester should take it into his head to come and reside here permanently, or at least visit it more often. Great houses and fine grounds require the presence of the proprietor.
Mr. Rochester? Who is he?
The owner of Thornfield. Did you not know he was called Rochester?
I thought Thornfield belonged to you.
To me? Ah, bless you, child. What an idea. To me. I am only the housekeeper, the manager. I consider myself quite in the light of an ordinary housekeeper. My employer is always civil, and I expect nothing more.
Showcase Classics is produced and directed for Dream Realm Enterprises by Rachel Pulliam.
This program is copyright 2021, all rights reserved, and is brought to you by Dream Realm Enterprises, warping to new dimensions.